Welcome to the Faith and Feelings Podcast. My name is Taylor Joy, and I'm passionate about helping you untangle and honor your emotions, authentically practice your faith, and integrate both into your everyday life so that you can experience the goodness and delight that comes from living in relationship with yourself, God, and others. Thank you for joining me. Let's get started. So many of us have experienced a before and an after. A before, you knew that life was fragile, and an after, when you can't go back, you can't unknow, you are changed. You're probably thinking about your experience now. In some ways, grief will always be journeying alongside of us. Where is God in this? And what do we do when, like David expresses over and over again in the Psalms, we feel a sense of divine abandonment or betrayal? How do we learn how to reconcile it all? The good, the bad, the beautiful, the terrible. Today, my friend Jess joins me to share about her recent miscarriage journey. Although Jess shares about the loss of a child, she speaks to the emotional undercurrent of loss in a way that I think will deeply resonate with many different experiences of sorrow. The complexity of untangling our own web of grief can at times feel overwhelming. What Jess does so beautifully is put words and phrases to the devastation of loss in a way that feels anchoring, truthful, and sacred. As you'll hear in our conversation, she does this through the wise and painful work of staying present to herself, to God, and to her own heart. Listen in. Well, welcome to Faith and Feelings, Jess. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, same. Thank you so much for having me, Taylor.
So I have to start off by saying, from 9 to 18, you were one of the mentoring voices in my life that I most looked up to.
Aw, thanks.
I called you Auntie while growing up. You know this. But I truly feel like that is what you've been, family. And I'm really, really grateful for you.
Aw, same. It's actually been so cool to like see you grow up and grow into an adult, obviously, but even the way that you've started all these different ministries. Very, very cool.
It's been so fun. Yeah. Well, we are currently in a season on the podcast called When Life Doesn't Make Sense. And I know, like all of us, there have been many seasons and experiences in your life so far that haven't made sense. I know that you could share several different stories with us today, but you've so graciously offered to share in real time about a current story that just doesn't seem to make sense. And I want to say how thankful I am. So to get started, would you mind sharing about this experience and what it's been like for you?
Yeah, sure. So it's been almost actually exactly a year, just a little less than a year ago from now, that my husband and I found out we were pregnant. And we were obviously super excited. We're also both a little bit older. Like, I'm in my late 30s, my husband in his 40s. And so, you know, just the fact that we got pregnant pretty quickly, even in of itself, was a huge blessing. You know, I remember going into that first ultrasound, and, you know, if you've had a child, there's like nothing like seeing a heartbeat, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just crazy, right? To think of what our bodies are capable of and the way that the Lord works and, you know, all these things. I'm sure I could go on and on about just what a miracle life is, right? Yeah. So anyways, we were super excited. About a month after that, we actually found out that the baby probably had trisomy 21 or Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. So that was obviously really, really scary. Mm-hmm. It was kind of just sort of almost, I don't want to say death, but it was sort of just like a letting go of so many of our like expectations and dreams. Because obviously, if we raised a child with Down syndrome, then life was going to look really different, you know?
Yeah.
The child growing up, even how it affected our lives, because there's no way to know if a Downs kid is going to be like a little bit more higher functioning or if they're going to be super dependent on their parents for the rest of their life. So that was just, it was kind of rocked our world a little bit. And so then, you know, but we knew that if this is what the Lord has for us, if this is what this is the child that God wants to give us, then we were like fully, this is what we want. And, you know, we want to love this child and, you know, teach him the love of the Lord as best as we can. But then a month after that, we went in for another ultrasound and we found out that the heartbeat had stopped and our child had died. So that was, I mean, there's just like no good words, right, to say when you lose someone, right? Especially when you lose a child.
Yeah.
I think one of the weird things was that we had been told that the child had probably, the baby had probably died about a week before we found out. And so, like, I don't even know, like, I had no physical symptoms that I was miscarrying. And it was crazy to just go from like, oh, we're like happy and pregnant and excited. Mm-hmm. And we're just starting to wrap our minds and hearts around the fact that, like, you know, maybe having a child is going to look a little different than what we'd expected, but we're still excited and we still love this baby. And from that to like leaving the hospital, because I had to be hospitalized because I was a little bit further along and had to be induced and all that. So we went from that to like leaving the hospital without a baby within like 48 hours, right? It was just like this. It was like getting hit by a freight train, right?
Yeah.
And just kind of like the emotional upheaval, like the physical upheaval, the hormones, oh my goodness, are like a really inappropriate five-letter word. Like, it's just, it really kind of takes you through the ringer, right? So thankfully, I, you know, physically speaking, I recovered pretty quickly. We had just a really great circle of friends, and we work for a Christian organization, so we have just some awesome teammates and coworkers who really came around with around us and prayed for us. And so I feel like all things considered, you know, life got back to, you know, as normal as it could be after something like that, as quickly as, you know, one could have hoped, right? So I mean, that was obviously really sad and devastating, but we also had a lot of hope, right, that the Lord was still going to bless us with a child. So this was like last year, late last year. And around Christmas, which is around when we were supposed to have our first baby, I was just having a really hard time, right? Because it's like Christmas and, you know, we were expecting a child and now we're not having one anymore. So I was just really having a hard time enjoying the holiday season. And that's when we found out we were pregnant again, right? And so then it just felt like, oh my goodness, it's like this gift from the Lord. And he didn't need to do that, right? He didn't need to bless this hard season in that way and this timing. And this Christmas, it's like this extra present from God. And I was just like so, so thankful and thrilled and excited and hopeful. And then January rolled around and we went in for our first ultrasound. And we found out that I'd had an embryonic pregnancy or a blighted ovum, which basically means that the embryo was kind of like no good, so to speak. That's like a terrible word to use, but basically it was like not going to make it from the very beginning. But the way the nurse described it was it's sort of like your body gets far enough to like make a home for the baby, but then there's no baby. And so then basically I was miscarrying again. I wasn't pregnant. And so then that was, I think emotionally and in terms of like my relationship with the Lord, I think the second time around was almost harder because it kind of felt like, oh, like the Lord is like a Lord that really like sees us and, you know, our struggles and in the small things and in the big things. And here I thought that he had come and answered our prayers just in this like really, really timely way, only to find out that that wasn't the case at all, that we were not pregnant. And it almost like felt like almost a betrayal, sort of. Like, why did God have to do it that way? Why did he have to let it happen like that? He could have just like not let me get pregnant, right? And it could have just happened whenever it's going to, because like I'm still not pregnant. It's been like a couple of months, right? Since that happened. And so, yeah, it was just, it's been this real struggle to believe that, like, I know God is good. And yeah. I know he loves us, like, on a big scale thing. Like, obviously, he sent his son, right? Like, he cares about us, right? But, you know, you always hear people talk about, like, oh, you know, God did this, like, really little thing for me, you know? And it just is a reminder that he loves me specifically, right? I spend a lot of time in Psalm 139 during, like, this whole process. And there are all these passages about the Lord sees our going out and our laying down. He knows all the words of our mouth before we even speak them. He knows all the days of our life when as yet there are none, right? And it's just, it like paints a picture of a God who just really sees us, not just in the big picture, but just in the daily life, just in all the little things. And I was like, where is that God in this moment?
Yeah.
Right? So it just really, I mean, in line with this podcast, it just didn't make sense with what I have experienced of God, what I've been taught about God, what we sing about God at church every day, right? It just didn't make any sense why a God who does see us in, day out would let something like this happen. So anyways, I'm a little bit all over the place because like I'm literally still kind of processing what happened. Obviously, we still don't have a child. We are still hopeful that the Lord will provide, but honestly, we don't really know. So yeah, that's in a nutshell. Kind of.
What a devastating and confusing loss. Yeah. I think a couple minutes ago, you just named something that I thought was so powerful. One, the physical and emotional upheaval that something like this can result in.
Yeah.
And two, that sense of betrayal from God. When you think about that feeling and that sense of betrayal, what were some of the thoughts and questions that you had towards God?
Yeah, I mean, definitely just kind of this, like, wondering, does he really, like, care that much? Is he really seeing us, seeing me in this moment? I know he's concerned about our salvation. I know he's concerned about our sanctification. But it felt like, but does he care if we're just like happy and if we have like a good day, right? In so many passages, God is described as like a good father, right? Like Jesus talks about how, like, you know, even us as evil people, we like know how to give our children good gifts, right? How much more does our Father in heaven do that for us, right? And it just didn't feel like, it was just really, it still is hard to believe. Like, yeah, is he a good father who like cares about me like in these little moments? I think one thing that's kind of been interesting is that it's really difficult to worship. Not because I'm necessarily angry at God. Like, obviously there's like a little bit of that as well. But it's sort of almost like worshiping God, it just like brings out all these different emotions, right? And I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but I realized recently, I was kind of processing this with my husband, because I would sort of like have a little bit of like a freak out after church for like several weeks in a row. And I realized, you know, when you have like so much stuff that you've like bottled up inside, and then someone that you like know and love and trust like gives you a hug or something like that, and then it just like all like comes out, right? I realize that that's what worship feels like to me, right? Worship feels like the Lord is like hugging me and like everything is coming out, including all of my anger and my frustration and my confusion at him, right? And it just feels like he's like, yeah, like let it all out, you know, like I can take it. I'm bigger than that. Like, give it all to me, right? So it's like this weird sort of kind of almost fight inside of me, because on one hand I'm like, I don't want to feel bad. Like, I don't want to like cry and be angry and frustrated, mm-hmm. you know, especially like at church when we're just like worshiping on like a normal Sunday morning, right? But at the same time I feel like God is like, can you give it all to, like, will you give it all to me? You know, will you believe that, yeah, despite everything that's happened, I am a good father and I do care about these little things, right? Like, I feel like it's almost like him inviting me to believe that again. I'm not quite there yet, to be totally honest. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think those are kind of just all the different things that are kind of going through my head as I think about, like, yeah, I feel like God betrayed me in some sense. Yet at the same time, like, I feel like it's almost just not that simple, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so much, you know, the suffering that we have, the fact that God is good and gracious and he is powerful, and yet, like, there's so much that sucks in the world, right? It's not just like this black and white thing. It's just, there's so much more about it that makes it impossible to explain it in terms of like, yeah, it's like he betrayed us, period. Right? Like, this is not that simple. So I think it, in response to that, our feelings also just, you know, because you're like feeling all the different things all at the same time, right? So it's really, I think it's been a process for me just to even like understand how I feel, right? Not even like untangling those feelings, but like, what feelings are in there to begin with, right? I think that's kind of where I've been these last few months.
When you think about untangling those emotions inside of you, what have been some of the major ones that have come out?
I think fear, mm-hmm. definitely. Because, you know, if our God is really, if I find that I really just can't believe in a God who is good and gracious and loves us like a father, like, that's scary.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that like rocks the foundation of just so much of what I believe about God and
mm-hmm.
him, even like the gospel and him sending Jesus mm-hmm. for us and everything. Right. So yeah, it's kind of like, it's not that I don't believe it, like I know it in my head, right? But I'm not like, I can feel that like my heart is not like resting in that truth,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it's really, there's just like so many different emotions that it's hard to just cling to that and like not worry about the rest, right? Because there's just like too much there. So, I mean, I think fear is a big thing. Did that make sense? Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that made sense. So fear, just sadness. I've been reading this book on lamenting and also reading through Job mm-hmm. at the same time. Which like Job just like, he just like complains for half the book basically, right?
Yeah.
Obviously that's an oversimplification, but he's just like, what the heck, right? Mm-hmm. Like, God, why are you doing this, right? And the book kind of talks about how like lamenting, it's almost like an act of faith, right? Mm-hmm. And it kind of made me think that like, yeah, I guess if we thought that this is just how the world is, right, then there's almost no point to complain to God, mm-hmm. right? Because you just kind of like accept it and move on, right? But like, this is not how the world is supposed to be. Like, death is not supposed to be in this world. The loss of a child is not supposed to be in this world, right?
Yeah.
And so there's just like this overwhelming feeling of like, this is not how it's meant to be, right? And just like the sadness of that. Right, I think has been, just so like kind of just a big part of this whole journey. And I mean, it's like a sadness that's so deep, it's like painful, right? So yeah. Thankfully, I know a lot of people, you know, when they're going through mourning or grieving, I know that like loneliness can be a big part of it for a mm-hmm. lot of people. And thankfully, like, I have an awesome husband who, funnily enough, like actually deals with anxiety. But during this whole process, he's just really been so rock solid. And just so like when I'm freaking out, he's like really super calm and collected and points me to Jesus and gives me a hug. So thankfully, loneliness is not like, I really feel like I've had someone next to me throughout this whole process, which really actually breaks my heart for those who don't have someone to really depend on. For like single moms who like go through a miscarriage, I mean, I just can't imagine what it must be like to have mm-hmm. to go to the hospital on your own. So
when you think about the process of grieving, has it been hard to grieve? Have you felt swallowed in it? Like, what has that experience been like for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, and I don't know if this is just me, I'm not like normally a really super emotionally deep person. I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, right? So like my emotions are like real thin and I just want to like move on and get to the good stuff, right? So I have a tendency, like when I feel grief start to come in, I like immediately feel overwhelmed, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that causes me to try and like pull back as like quickly as possible, right? So I think that's sometimes made it hard to like really grieve and lament, I guess, properly or fully, right? A few weeks ago, I was just so tense and feeling anxious and just kind of like jittery. And I think I did have all of that like grief kind of like welling up in me, and my husband finally sat me down. And it was just like, let it all out. Just cry. Just cry, freak out. If you need to panic, you can panic, right? He's like, just do all the things, right? And he kind of had to like keep telling me to do that for like several minutes before I like really started crying, right? And so it's weird because it almost feels like I'm like forcing myself to mourn a little bit in the beginning. But it's not like I'm like making it up. Like, it's all in there, right? But sometimes it's almost like I have to kind of go like digging for it a little bit because I've gotten so good at just like tamping it down and distracting myself and trying to do other things, right? Mm-hmm. So that just to say that, I mean, you know, they talk about like the stages of grief and stuff like that, almost as if you just go like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and then you finish.
Right? Not the case.
You go like 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1, 4, you know, like, it's just like alphabet soup of numbers.
That's such a good way of putting it.
So yeah, one friend, she said that someone had described grief to her as like a coffee table that you like put stuff on. Like, grief is something you put on your coffee table, and it's sort of like you're circling around your coffee table. Mm-hmm. And your circles with time, they get like bigger and bigger and bigger, but that doesn't mean you stop circling, right? And every now and again, your circle brings you closer to the coffee table. You pick up your grief, so to speak, right? And you like spend some time, like you might have like a really, really good cry about it, like 6 months from now or like a year from now, right? And that's just like the nature of grief, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think between that, which I think is everybody, and just my own personality, where I kind of don't like to touch the coffee table to begin with, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely been a lot of back and forth. There'll be weeks where I feel like, I'm great, I'm good, I'm ready to move on, I don't need to think about this anymore, right? And then usually right after I think that is like when I have like a whole meltdown, right? So it's definitely, I mean, people always say like it's a process, right? I don't know if that's too cliche, but it really is like such a winding journey of ups and downs. And it's kind of interesting because even like, I feel like sometimes you discover like new things in your grief, right? You're like, oh, I didn't like really feel that before. I didn't really feel this before. Now that I think about it, you know, like that was, I think, one thing with like worship, right? And just like discovering how that has been like playing into our grief and my grief as well. So yeah.
I know this, like, this is such a current real time mm-hmm. when life doesn't make sense mm-hmm. season. But as you think about continuing to move forward, I think the question, as I've been listening this whole time, mm-hmm. and the question that has come up for me as mm-hmm. I've been thinking about this series in general is, like, how do we keep moving forward mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. with the ongoing pain and lack of resolution in situations like this? Because it feels cruel. It feels like a betrayal. It feels like, why is this happening? Like, with mm-hmm. all of those questions, how do you keep moving forward?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's probably a part of me that will sort of never stop asking those questions.
Yeah.
And wondering why it had to happen this way. Mm-hmm. Complaining to God that, yeah, this really sucked. This just felt so cruel. Just, you know, where were you in those moments? Like, why in your sovereignty is this kind of thing allowed, right? I think there's probably a certain extent to which that's always going to happen, especially since, like, obviously this is not going to be the first time I suffer. And obviously, there are going to be other times where I'm suffering, where the people I love around me are suffering, right? So I think part of it is just kind of recognizing the fact that this is not just like a book that gets closed and like yeah. put away for forever.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like one day I'm going to like pray the right prayer or find the right Bible verse and all of a sudden everything is going to be all resolved and tied with a neat little bow, right? Like that's not going to happen, right? So, I mean, I think having just sort of a realistic expectation of just like, yeah, like maybe I'm on step four of grief, but tomorrow I might be back at the beginning, you know, and that's just how it is, right? But I guess I do think that I am constantly learning and growing, and I'm like, I am moving, right? I don't really know exactly what direction I'm moving in, but I'm definitely moving, right? And I guess I can only just trust that the Lord is moving me closer to Him, right? I think I can't even see far enough to know if that's happening. I just have to believe that, because God is sovereign and because He is good, right? That He is moving me closer and closer to Him. Maybe it's not like linear, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's yeah. not a straight line for sure.
Yeah.
But the general direction, right? Of knowing Him more intimately, of trusting Him more deeply with all of my sorrows, you know, with all of this tragedy, right? I think that's probably something that just I have to hold on to. And even as like part of me is a little bit like, really? Like, is that all I have? Right. But at the same time, like that really is all I need. If I can know that the Lord is bringing me closer to Him, despite all of this, despite all of my own like complaints and anger and doubts and disbelief, right? And I'm like, okay, like I'm going to keep moving, right? I feel like that in of itself is just, it's just hope, right? That, yeah, I don't know if this specific situation, like, I mean, I don't know if we're going to have kids, right? Like maybe we never will, right? And that would be devastating. But to know that even in that, the Lord is drawing me and my husband closer and closer to Him, I think that's maybe just, yeah, just the one hope that we really do cling to, that we know does not put us to shame, right? Like it says in Romans, right? Yeah, and I don't know what's at the end of the road, but I think it would be much worse just to like sit and wallow and, you know, let all that sadness turn into like bitterness, you know, and the anger get to a point where I can't even believe in God anymore. I mean, I think that would be like the worst case scenario, mm-hmm. right? And I know that that happens, right? I know that that does happen to people. So yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that was beautiful. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As a last question, I'm thinking about the person who is listening and is resonating with everything that you're saying. And maybe they're walking through the same situation. Maybe they're just resonating so much with the feelings and emotions in a different kind of loss. But what encouragement would you give to them? What would you say to them?
So I don't want to give any advice because mm-hmm. I think that was the least helpful thing
yeah.
for me is mm-hmm. when people were like, do ABC, you'll feel better.
Yeah.
Or, do XYZ, you can move on, right? And I was like, that's not only unhelpful, but it's actually kind of stressful because now yeah. I feel like I need to like do something else, right? So I don't want to give advice. Yeah, I mean, I think just knowing that it is such that like twisty, turny, windy,
mm-hmm.
you know, journey process of dealing with your emotions, of dealing with, you know, and since what's going on in our brains has such a huge effect on our bodies and then vice versa. So it just kind of becomes this sort of like,
yeah.
you know, positive feedback loop of making you feel even crazier than you already are. Right. And just kind of not having expectations that it's going to look a specific way. Right. I think every person's journey is just so different in how they heal, how they cope, how they move on, right? I pray that if anyone is going through this and if they're listening to this and they're going through something similar, that they have people beside them that will speak truth into their lives in a gracious way, right? Not in like a, hey, you should be doing this and this and this, but in just like a, hey, like, you can cry, like, let me hug you. You can go crazy. It's all right, you know? And if they don't have someone like that in their lives, I just really pray that they find someone like that, that they can open up to, that they can feel safe with. 'Cause yeah, I think, at least for me, so often I didn't even feel safe enough, like within myself to like admit to me, like I'm feeling a certain way, right? Much less if you don't feel safe around the people around you, that like, where do you turn, right? And so like, I really needed my husband to be like, this is a safe place. You can let it all out and it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I really needed that. And so, yeah, I guess my prayer is just that anyone who's going through would have someone like that in their lives.
Thank you so much for this conversation, Jess. I'm really grateful for you and for this time together.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for making a space to have these kinds of conversations.
I pray this conversation was an encouragement and one that you'll continue to ponder and reflect on. I'd love to invite you to consider some questions as we wrap up our time together. What did you feel in your body as you listened to this episode? Did you feel tense or relaxed, hot or cold? Maybe your chest felt tight or your body felt heavy. What parts of our conversation did you resonate most with, And were there any parts that you felt resistance? What might it look like to be curious about this? As always, I'll be sharing more of my thoughts, resources, and reflections from this conversation in my weekly Substack, which is an email connected to the topic of Monday's episode that I send out every Wednesday. If you aren't yet part of the community there, I hope you'll join in. You can subscribe through the link in the show notes. Until next week. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me on Instagram at TaylorJoy. If this conversation was helpful and you'd like more information about my other offerings to engage your story more deeply, check out my website, TaylorJoyMurray.co.